Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I am so glad that you're with us. If you want to be on the show, 877-655-6755, 877-655-6755. Guess what? We have our Canadian caregiver correspondent, our classy Canadian caregiver correspondent. That's what John has deemed you. And this is Tracy Maxfield.
I think the universe did that.
Well, that's stretching it, Pippa.
Oh, my goodness. We're bestowing titles now on a cosmic level. All right, Tracy.
Hello.
How you feeling?
Very hot. It's about 37 degrees here, which is, I don't know, about 98 there.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means, 37 degrees.
Celsius, so yeah, I'm thinking we're in the high 90s.
You Canadians with your funky terms.
I know.
And how many kilometers away? I don't even know how to do the metric system and all that stuff. But I'm glad you called. I got a topic here because I encountered this with someone not too long ago, and I wanted you to just take a few moments to address it. Tracy brings 35-plus years as a dementia care specialist nursing. She has done this. She understands the journey, and she provides us with valuable tips for those of you living with someone with dementia. Now, let me explain a little bit about dementia real quick. Dementia doesn't necessarily mean you have Alzheimer's, but if you have Alzheimer's, you will have dementia. But dementia can be caused by a variety of different afflictions. So we have a lot of folks out there dealing with these issues. And sometimes these things that Tracy provides also extend into other issues like autism and so forth, where you have impairments. And so this one today, Tracy, I wanted you to just take us on a little bit of a journey here on what to do when somebody who has dementia becomes really agitated. How do you talk them back down out of the tree?
Okay, so I think the most important thing to remember is when anyone gets agitated, but especially for those people who are living with dementia, is it's an expression of an unmet need. So the anger or the agitation that you're seeing is because they are wanting something, but depending on what stage they are in the dementia, they may not actually be able to vocalize that to you or find the words. And so that's what becomes not only frustrating to the person living with dementia, but also to the caregiver. And so I think the first thing that the caregiver or anyone that may find themselves in the situation is they need to remain very calm themselves. Because if they start getting upset or frustrated or argue, that's only going to make the person worse because they're going to be reacting to what's happening. So remain very, very calm. And the first thing that you want to do with your loved one is to try and calm them. So you offer reassurance, a slight touch on the shoulder or on the arm. Depending on where you are, you've got to scan your environment. Immediately as you're seeing that, let's say your husband is becoming increasingly unsettled and agitated, you've got to look at the person but also scan the environment. Is it too noisy? Is it too stimulating? Have the lights gone down and it's too dark so they can't make out faces? They're seeing shadows. So first thing you want to do is calm the environment. Turn off any distractions. Make sure that there's plenty of light so they can see you and see what's going on. And then you offer them reassurance. How can I help you? You are safe. You obviously need something. So what is it that you need? They may try to tell you, and you obviously have to be very patient as you listen. But if they are unable to do that, then ask them to show you or ask them to point. Usually it's something that's very simple. It may be that they're hungry or they're thirsty or they want to use the washroom or maybe they have an incontinence issue and they need to be changed. They may be in pain. They may be constipated. There's so many things that you have to think. Are they feeling unwell? Did something just happen? Did somebody just come and visit or was outside or did they hear a siren? something has triggered this, and the person is now trying to make sense of all the stimuli that's just happened, and they're trying to express that to the caregiver. So the caregiver needs to keep looking for cues. Maybe they can't find the washroom, or the shoes are on the wrong feet. Sometimes it's something that's very simple, but you have to be really alert to kind of look for the cues. The most important thing is that you want to remove them to a calm place. So maybe take them into the dining room and sit down, or maybe take them to the kitchen, make them a nice cup of tea, put on some nice music, try and have a chat to distract them, and then try and figure out, okay, what is it? You can show them a cup of tea, a glass of water. They don't want that. Food. Kind of have a look. Okay, is their shirt buttoned up properly? Have they maybe unable to put their belt on? It could be just the simplest little things. Or it could be that they're in a different environment. It wouldn't be uncommon if you suddenly took them to the doctor's office or the shopping mall, because it's a completely change of a safe routine that they're used to. So I would say the first thing is remain calm, move the person to a calm environment, keep reassuring them, and then give them something to drink, make a cup of tea, maybe put on some soothing music. And if you still can't get to what it is that's really bothering them, then try a distraction. And so that may be playing cards, going outside for a walk. Maybe the person has been home all day and is so bored that they actually want to go outside and look in the garden, or maybe just go for a short walk and get fresh air. And so it's the little things like that that they will then calm down. And as they start to relax and are calmer, you may then be able to try and get to the bottom of what it was that had just caused this little trigger.
You know, these are just wonderful things, Tracy, that you're offering here. And I was writing them all down while you do it. You know, I do take notes, Tracy. I just wanted you to know.
I know you do.
John does it.
But with this just bear trap of a mind, you know.
Bear trap of a mind. Oh.
Well, this is. I will say this. I bet Tracy makes a fantastic cup of tea, all right? And I just, you know, that's
I'm a brick.
Yeah, there you go. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, my aunt is from England, and just it's you guys just wonderful tea, just fantastic. Yeah.
Gracie likes sweet tea, but you don't have that in Canada, do you?
No, and that's what I miss, because in Britain, going to people's homes, as soon as you walked in the door, everyone offered you a cup of tea, and I think that's what's missing in most communities now, because you immediately make that connection when you can sit down with people and visit over a cup of tea. It promotes that calm environment where you're more willing to share and just have that relationship, that social inclusion that we need.
Well, I grew up when we didn't offer a cup of tea where I grew up. We offered a glass of tea and a piece of pound cake.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
That's
same.
Thus explaining the level of diabetes here in the South.
Well, but all right. Well, no. Also, we can have sweet tea. We just put some maple syrup in it, right? I mean, it's...
Why would you put maple syrup?
She's up in Canada, Peter.
No. That goes against the laws of nature. The book of Proverbs says there are several things that nature can't abide, and that's one of them. That's like people putting syrup on their grits. It ought to be outlawed. All right, so you had the number one thing. If you got a dementia patient who is struggling and they become agitated, I want to go back to the top of the list. I just want to kind of review this quickly for those who are just now joining in on the show. 877, by the way, 877-655-6755. We're talking with Tracy Maxfield, dementia care nurse expert, been doing this for 35 years. And if you're watching on Facebook Live as well, let me just kind of give the rundown. So if it's an expression of an unmet need. That's the first thing you realize. And for us as caregivers, just to stay calm. Now, the easiest way for us to stay calm is to take a the fastest way is take a deep breath, 4 seconds in, 8 seconds out, and slow ourselves down. And let's not try to fix everything, but let's be aware. And I like what you said there. Look, we got to play a little bit of detective, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because they can't always tell us.
Absolutely. And so you've got to look for the cues. You've got to do it. Scan the person and you scan your environment.
I think that's probably the critical place. Scan the person, scan the environment. Look at everything from the shoes to the belt to the lights to the music. I remember I asked a lady whose son has autism, and I said, if you could say one thing to pastors around the country about churches and autism friendly, I said, what would it be? And she said, hands down, turn the music down, turn the lights down in the foyer. Just turn stuff down, don't make it. And I think that's going to apply across the board to so many different types of impairments that we have all this stimuli going on, and it can really overload. And you've said this before, Tracy, when you talk, they don't have the ability to process these things like you and I do.
And not at all. And that promotes their anxiety and confusion and their fear as their brain is trying to make sense of what's going on. What's all this? And so, yeah.
So that agitation is really an expression of fear, isn't it? Oftentimes.
It's fear. It could be an expression of pain, of hunger, of just feeling uncomfortable, or anxiety. It could be so many little things, but they're all so closely linked because once you trigger one thing, everything kind of follows on then as they become more and more anxious because they're needing this need to be met, and no one is understanding them. And for them, that's very, very hard because they get so frustrated when they're trying to explain or show you or point out. And so that's why, as caregivers, you guys have to be Sherlock Holmes. You really, really do. And it's look at the person, look at your loved one, look at the environment, take your cues from that. Calm the environment, reassure the person, and then either whatever it is that they need, you can take care of them. Things will settle. Otherwise, move them and redirect them until you can figure out what it is that's just been happening.
That's just awesome, Tracy. As always, you astound us with just the most concise way of saying the practical and the obvious. There's a quote a friend of mine told me, the obvious becomes the obvious right before it becomes obvious.
Obviously, yes.
And I just love that. And so, I mean, these things
She was quick. She's like, obviously.
I know. Well, oh, man. She's Canadian. She is Canadian. And they have to be quick up there. But these are obvious things, yes, but we don't think about it cohesively. And as we deal with these, we just constantly react. And what Tracy's encourages all of us to do, and this applies whether you're a caregiver or not, respond, don't react. Respond, don't react. If we make it worse, how's that helpful to anybody else? If we start spazzing out and everything ourselves, and I know that's easy to do, and I'm the king of that, and I don't need my wife to chime in right now because she's watching on Facebook Live, and she'll probably chime in and says, yes, you are the king of that.
Is she wrong?
No, she's not wrong. She's never wrong about that. But that doesn't mean it needs to be reaffirmed. Hey, listen, Tracy Maxfield, our classy Canadian caregiver correspondent, tracymaxfield.com. Thank you, by the way, Tracy, for having your website up there. And
thank you.
It only took you 6 months, but you did it. And then next month when you call in, I think it'll be on the 25th, I think, of August, right? We need to push it back to the 25th because I'll be in Africa on the normal day.
Okay, no problem.
So we'll work that out. But I'll be back from Africa with Standing With Hope to do that. But Tracy, thank you so much for brilliant, brilliant words for us today, okay?
Thank you. You guys have a good week.
All right, we'll see you. Hey, this is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. We got more to go. Don't go away.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-25-SHARE. That's 855-25-SHARE.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.